Yes, God's a Republican and he hates the gays. Pretty simple. I mean, that at least that's what it seems the message to be. And I see this story coming out of central Pennsylvania, just northeast, just a little bit north of where I'm at, up in Clark Summit. Evidently, Clark Summit University, which I didn't even know actually existed until I read this article and found out that it used to be the Baptist Bible College up there. But they changed the name because, hey, they wanted to attract more people because evidently enrollment to the toilet. Evidently, there was a guy who went there while it was the Baptist school, did a whole bunch of coursework, then joined the Navy, you know, had some stuff going on, and then wanted to come back to finish up his degree and enrolled and, you know, went through all this stuff. And evidently, the way I understand it is they initially accepted him and then said, wait, hold on. You're gay? No, not you. No. Even though he was only like two or three classes short of graduating, he's asked for, you know, help. He's asked for an exception, and they have told him no. But here's a guy with like 30 grand in debt and a bunch of credits that won't transfer anywhere. And, hey, this is what happens when you go to those for-profit colleges. So he seems to be SOL because the law definitely not on his side. That's why I've asked our good friend Chris Troop to come talk with us, share some thoughts on this. Because, look, this isn't new. We've heard this story before. But, Chris, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me on, Rick. It's always great to be with you.
So am I kind of getting the gist of this? You know, he went to school to begin with at this Baptist college, you know, was trying to, quote unquote, maybe straighten out, didn't quite happen. But, you know, did the coursework and now SOL?
That is basically what happened. You know, people who grow up in these conservative Christian environments that I grew up in, they're told basically that gay people, trans people, queer people don't really exist or don't have to exist. So if you are that kind of person, it leads to a lot of self-hatred. So they also have this whole sort of parallel institutional subculture that they've built. A kind of technical term we would use for that in fundamentalist studies is an enclave community. Fundamentalist religious groups build these enclaves off to the side of mainstream society where they can protect their alternative facts, you know, their worldview that is antithetical to modernity. So there are all these Christian schools, Christian colleges, Christian homeschooling. We've talked about that many times on your show. Christian bookstores, Christian music, Christian movies. So if you are a kid in that kind of environment and you're gay, it might be a very natural choice for you to try to really commit your life to Christ. Go to a Christian college in the hopes that, you know, you can pray the gay away there. Or, you know, there are still Christian families that send their kids off to, you know, the so-called ex-gay therapy, or what they sometimes refer to as reparative therapy. A couple of states have made moves to make that illegal for minors because it is abusive. It's essentially psychological torture. But it's still practiced in these communities. So he went to this kind of school, apparently initially in the hopes that he would be able to pray the gay away. Didn't work. And the reason the law is not on his side is that Christian universities are often recognized as having Title IX exemptions, at least to certain provisions of Title IX, which, you know, governs things like how you handle sexual misconduct and sex discrimination. And according to the most recent judicial interpretations and the interpretation of the Obama Justice Department, you know, this includes you're not allowed to discriminate on the basis of sexuality or gender identity. Now, Christian schools have been freaking out about this in recent years and applying specifically for Title IX exemptions.
Right.
Some of them already don't even have to have anything to do with Title IX because they don't take any federal funding. And then there's another thing that you hit on here, which is that the school indeed has faced declining enrollments, so it tried to rebrand, which is something that evangelicals often do, and they're often surprisingly slick at marketing and branding.
I was reading part of the story, and they were saying that, you know, some of the things that you have to do there, and I'm going, you know, what 18-year-old kid going off to college is going to say, I have to go to chapel every week, I can't be alone with members of the opposite sex, I can't display any physical affection for even, you know, someone of the opposite sex. No hand holding in public. None of that stuff. Can't smoke. Can't drink. Even if you're over 21, can't even mm-hmm. watch R-rated movies. And that's according to the student handbook. Who would go there?
You'd be surprised. So let me tell you. You know, Baptist Bible College, a school like that, they tend to be more on the far fundamentalist spectrum of evangelical slash.
I thought you said moron. Okay, I'm sorry.
So there are schools which would be considered more mainstream evangelical, but that are still nearly that strict. They don't necessarily have the no public displays of affection rule anymore, but they'll definitely have no drinking, even if you're only over 21, even if you're off campus. Many of them have a no dancing rule. Again, it also applies off campus theoretically, though I hear that many, many people don't obey these rules. Surprise. Chapel requirements, no R-rated movies is a fairly common one, though they sometimes make exceptions for things like Braveheart and The Passion of the Christ, because Mel Gibson is a good Christian and a good anti-Semite.
Yeah, yeah. Really? A good Christian? All right.
Well, he's not an evangelical Christian, obviously. He's a very radical traditionalist Catholic, but, you know, they like the general message of those movies.
But, you know, I'm looking at this and, you know, this guy's going to get screwed over. I mean, I don't see there being a way that this school backs down, because you look at, you know, right now the courts are on his side because, you know, right now we're all, you know, religious freedom. And the religious freedom in this case is to torture this guy and to deny him access to something that he paid for. Look, I mean, the guy's, you know, thousands of dollars in debt. I think it said 30 grand in debt. He's done, mm-hmm. I guess, most of the coursework. Outside of two mm-hmm. courses, I mean, it just seems like, you know, at the end of the road, it's like someone running a marathon and you're kicking them right before they hit the finish line.
It is truly horrible. And, you know, I think the one chance that we do have to perhaps get them to reverse this decision, although I did hear recently that apparently Lackawanna College has offered to allow him to transfer his credits and finish there to find some solution. So I didn't get all the details on that, but perhaps there's another college that's stepping up to help him out. But since, you know, these kinds of schools do, we can't hold their feet to the fire with Title IX, which I think is ridiculous. Public pressure is really the only sort of thing that you can exert to perhaps get them to do the right thing in some cases, because they are very image conscious. Although they are also very conscious of being what they see as persecuted by the world. So, you know, it may not work. But they don't like bad press. And so we've been working tonight, some of us in the ex-evangelical community, to get the hashtag Let Gary Graduate trend. And people are tweeting hashtag Let Gary Graduate. The former student's name is Gary Campbell. And so, you know, people have been tweeting that at Clark Summit University's Twitter account. If people are watching now, listening now, I'd encourage them to tweet. It's at Clark's Summit U. There's two S's in there. You know, tweet, Let Gary Graduate, send him a piece of your mind. Because, you know, sometimes public shaming does work. And I think it's important to expose these sorts of abuses that happen all the time in Christian colleges. And I've heard many stories, and I'm currently working on some more investigative journalism precisely on these issues, you know, the kinds of ways that Christian colleges mistreat people. So I'll be publishing some more stuff on this in the not too distant future.
And look, they seem to be rising at an alarming rate. I mean, I look at Liberty University, which, you know, just in my lifetime has grown from nothing to, you know, one of the largest, you know, suckers of federal dollars out there.
Liberty is huge. And one of the ways that they managed to actually be so profitable is that they have a lot of online teaching available and that sort of thing. But yeah, Liberty also has no bones about being seen as extreme right wing. And other smaller Christian schools, you know, are struggling. So that's probably why Baptist Bible College rebranded as Clark Summit University. It still only has a few hundred undergrad students on campus. If you add all the online and graduate students and seminary students, I think it's something like 900. Christian liberal arts colleges are in decline. And sadly, perversely, the incentives are such that this is making them become even more hardline right wing. It's making their administrations enforce orthodoxy even more, because it's the donors and the parents who are paying tuition. And it's often parents in these fundamentalist Christian communities often force their children, if they're going to be able to get higher ed at all, to go to this kind of Christian school. So they're now asking schools that used to be a little bit more open, like say Asbury University in Kentucky, you know, they're asking the administrators and the professors, well, it's not acceptable to think that same-sex marriage should be legal here, is it? And if they don't get the answer, yes, you know, they're going to send their kid somewhere else. So, and then there's another case, a school called Gordon College in Massachusetts, which was known for being more open-minded and more liberal relative to other evangelical schools. And then in 2014, under a new president, D. Michael Lindsay, they started really cracking down. They purged faculty who were supportive of LGBTQ students, claimed it was a financial crisis that caused them to do that. But the purge was obviously targeted. You know, these weren't random cuts of faculty.
Right.
And I did some journalism on that, wrote about that for Religion Dispatches. And so people there are saying, well, we're turning into Liberty North. We used to love the fact that we weren't Liberty University. But now, if we want to survive financially, we have to turn into Liberty University.
And, you know, I look at this and there's so much wrong here. I mean, there's just so much wrong to this whole scenario. And you know, outside of just the glaring obvious of them not allowing this guy to graduate and being involved in his personal life. And you know, I guess the other question I have is, how'd they find out? How did they know that the guy was gay so that they could then use that against him?
I'm not entirely sure. And I was emailing with Gary a little bit earlier tonight, and I'll have to ask him about that. But yeah,
he's a good guy.
He's getting his life back on track. And then, you know, this is just so insulting.
It seems like a massive invasion of privacy.
Oh, well, you know, their privacy and consent are not things in the evangelical Christian world.
And consent aren't things?
Not really, no.
Okay. Now, the other thing that bothers me is that half of this guy's credits don't transfer anywhere, that they're crap. I mean, that's the other part of this that gets me, that, you know, you would think that, you know, across, if you're accredited by any of these accreditation agencies, that those credits should be transferable somewhere.
And apparently,
a credit is a credit is a credit.
Apparently, this school has a sort of very specific curriculum, very specific core requirements, and so they simply don't transfer. I mean, that can be a problem, even with, you know, ordinary state schools, private schools, but it seems to be more of a problem with some of these smaller denominational schools or interdenominational evangelical schools.
Just amazing. And there's in your view, there's no law, there's no way the state of Pennsylvania could intervene, there's no way that there's other than public shaming, and this, you know, this college, you know, weighing the options of hey, you know, we did this, so this might attract, you know, more parents with more money so that we can, you know, get gut shame, or the other side of outside of that, there's no recourse, do you think?
Well, so I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not a legal expert. I want to be clear about that. But my understanding as a scholar, researcher, and journalist who has looked specifically at the politics of Christian universities, and I'm continuing to do that and working towards some new publications, is that there probably isn't a case there on the basis of Title IX because of religious freedom.
And no way to sue to get your money back.
I don't think so, but again, I'm not a legal expert, yeah. So I hope that Gary is consulting with legal experts who would know better than me, and obviously there can be differences in Pennsylvania state law versus other states, but I think a lot of this would have to do with federal law, and typically the instrument that you would use here to get a university to do the right thing would be Title IX, but that simply isn't generally an option for Christian schools.
Yeah, and everyone asks me why I don't want to see Trump impeached. This is one of those reasons. I fear Mike Pence as president. I fear Christian Sharia law.
He's a dangerous man. We don't want to lose sight of that.
Yeah, I fear the kind of theocracy that we end up with. And, you know, I've been saying Christian Sharia law for a couple of years now because, you know, you see this kind of stuff, and this is exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, they would love to run the country the way that they run their own institutions. Absolutely.
Crazy, crazy stuff. But Chris, I appreciate the time, the thoughts, and thanks for informing us what's going on here.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Rick.
As always, our good friend Chris Stroop. You can follow him along, C_Stroop. We'll make sure we get a link out so you can do that. And also follow along with the hashtag #EmptyThePews. He is the creator of that as well. Quick break, right back after this. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.